All right, if you have your Bible this morning, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 13. We're continuing our series on what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. James 2. But 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. When it comes to salvation, Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so this is coming from God, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, whether you're truly born again. Prove your own selves. Inspect your lives. Inspect your salvation experience. What has it produced in your life? Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 reminds us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as I said last week, and I'll remind you throughout this series here, if there's been no change since you came to Christ, then remember there's been no change in your eternal destination. If you are in Christ, He has changed your life. And He is still changing your life. Aren't you glad? His mercies are new and fresh every morning. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. And we were here last week, but this is just my groundwork laying the theme for this. This is the third in the series of a number of messages I'm putting together for this. But in chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened, that word quickened, if you would look at the definition, it means to be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead men do nothing for themselves. We can do nothing for ourselves for salvation. Christ did it. We had to simply receive it by faith. He says, but he reminds us of the old us before we were saved, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. As I went to last week, I believe it was, Paul told us, such were some of you. But now are you washed. Now are you sanctified. Amen? Now are you justified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to that, we were in verse 3 and verse 4 here in Ephesians 2. Oh, but I'm so glad that verse 4 starts off with, but God. Aren't you glad that's there? God looked at you and I and said, you're worthy of death. You have chosen to sin. I warned you of the consequences, yet you sin anyways. And He could have held us guilty, and He could have condemned us. But He didn't. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us, again made alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and in God's mind we're already in heaven, isn't this, and made us sit together currently right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you are saved, you are placed in the body of Christ. And where is Christ? He is in heaven on the right hand of the Father. Amen? That's where you are in God's mind. In verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not working to get saved, it don't work. But when you are saved, you are to do a work for Christ afterwards. That's why it's in verse 10, for we are His workmanship. Now that we're saved, we are to work for Christ. Amen? We're not working to get saved, we're working because we are saved. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. In Matthew 2, in verse 16 and verse 20, He makes the statement, our Lord does, by their fruits ye shall know them. It's true. You can tell a lot about someone by who they run with, who they want to be with, and what their favorite shows are, what their favorite music is, where their favorite places to go are. You can tell a lot about us, can't you? So, by their fruit you shall know them. When someone is saved, we have the right to expect to see a change. And if there's no change, a flag should go up. Something's wrong. Now, I know we're not saved by works, but we work once we are saved. And that. So, James 2 says this. James chapter 2 says this. In verse 17, even so faith. Now he's talking about when the world looks at you, when others see you. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Thou believest that the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Now the Christian's not dead. We've been quickened, right? Made alive. Our faith isn't dead. It's been revived. Amen? When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith comes alive. And something happens in your heart that never stops working on you. I remember the day I got saved. I never dreamed what God was going to do with my life. I'm a work still in progress. But I'm a work that has progressed. God is good. I'm not what I was. Not what I ought to be yet. Still working on that. Amen? For the day I finally reach heaven when I am perfect. Amen? But thank God by His grace, He's changed me and I'm not what I was. Turn to Mark chapter 5 this morning. We're going to look at a man that was beyond his control. He had gotten involved in things that had taken hold of his life, and he was in bondage, he was enslaved, and he had no hope. His family had no hope. His friends had no hope. They tried the world. They tried religion. And it did not change this man. But then Christ came along, and things happened. Father, speak to our hearts this morning as only You can do, Lord. If there are lost here this morning, would You draw them to the gospel of Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May Your Holy Spirit be the preeminent one here that speaks this morning through Your Word. And may You use me as a vessel of honor for my Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the saved here, encourage us in the salvation we have and in the need we have to go out and rescue others. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you ever see someone you thought, man alive, they are beyond hope? They are just so wicked and so vile. They are so out of control that nothing can change them. I've known folks like that, and then I've seen those folks get saved. And I've seen something change them. But not something of this world. Something divine. I've seen folks, I've seen drunkards that were hooked on alcohol, abusive to their families, wasting their paychecks, get saved and become family men. Good citizens. And walk away from the alcohol. I've seen druggers free up drugs. I've seen impure become pure. I've seen those things. Amen? I've seen those that were morally good, but still unclean within. Even those folks, when they get saved, there's a change still. Amen? That comes from within. And that. And here in Mark 5 and verse 1, and our Lord, as they came over the other side of the sea, in verse 1, in the country of Gadarenes, when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now let me tell you something right now. If someone wants to hang around the dead and the tombs and vampires and witches, there's something wrong with those folks to begin with right there. That's a good fruit to know. They ain't the crowd I should be running with. If they want Dungeons and Dragons and the Ouija boards and the Harry Potters, they ain't the crowd I want to run with. I want to run with the living. This man's in a tomb and he comes out of the tombs. And in verse 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man can bind him, not with chains. In verse 4, because he had brought often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. and always night and day in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting up the stones. In verse 3 and 4, I want you to see something. The world's solution didn't work. And listen, we need prisons to protect those that aren't criminals, amen? But prisons don't fix folks. You can put folks in a that go off the deep end. You can put them in a medical ward somewhere, but if all you do is tranquilize them and medicate them and teach them it's their parents' fault, you're not helping them. The world's programs will not work. They just won't. Our schools are full of these kind of programs right now. We've got Planned Parenthoods, and we've got all these programs at our schools, and they're not working. Teaching young folks, just don't have sex till you're ready, but when you're ready, then do it safe. They're not ready till they're married. There is no safe sex outside of marriage. People get hurt. They have consequences that follow the rest of their lives. This young man, the world couldn't help him. He just break off the chains and keep going. Oh, I know folks who we put in program after program, even good, sound, fundamental church programs. But if they don't take and get the right kind of help from the Lord, they leave the program right back where they were again. Only worse. And so in chapter 5, in verse 5 rather, you see now the depths of despair. He's guilty. He wants to change, but can't. And always day and night in the mountains and tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Do you know there are young folks today that practice cutting themselves? What in the world would make them do that? Sin. He's in despair. Perhaps he's wanting to end his own life, but scared to go all the way, so he just slightly cut himself, trying to get attention. But there was no help. All the world today is crying out for help, aren't they? But they're looking in all the wrong areas. So when he saw Jesus fall off in verse 6, he ran and worshipped him. You know what that is? In verse 7, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I agree with thy God that thou torment me not." In verse 6, he runs and he worships him. You know what that is? That's a religious work trying to earn it. He's worshiping him, but he ain't his. I'm going to tell you, I spent 17 years in church. So he's worshiping him. And all across this nation of ours this morning and around the world, there are folks in churches worshiping God but don't know God. Even in our fundamental churches, there are folks today in our independent, fundamental Bible and Baptist churches who are there, they're in attendance, they're worshiping Him, they're religious, but they don't yet know Him. They're there because grandma and grandpa or mom and dad brought them, or because their friends are there, or because the business connection is there, or somehow being in church is going to earn them the right to get into heaven. And you can come here every time we have services and die and go to hell. You can be raising your hands and you sing. You can sing beautifully. You can put on a good front. You can dress just right and really come in looking like a good Christian. And we'll look at you from the outside and think, wow, now they really are somebody that really has it all figured out. But yet there's nothing here. It's all a put on. They die and open their eyes in hell. Our Lord said in Matthew, the men that say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done all these wonderful things for thee? Even cast out devils in thy name. And what you say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Not that I knew you and you walked away. Not that I knew you and I lost you. I never knew you. See, He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And you cannot walk away. If you walk away, you're still His. Amen? You cannot walk away from salvation. You can walk away from serving the Lord, but you can't walk away from salvation once you're His. I never knew you. And so he's worshiping him. And then he's realizing it ain't working. He's worshiping him, but he feels worse instead of better when it's all done. He's nothing inside is telling him he's forgiven. Nothing inside is giving him that peace and that comfort that all who helps to him and God. And so in verse 7, he cries in a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Do you know there are folks today that have said, "I'm sick of the church. I'm sick of religion. It ain't working." And they walk away. You want to know why? They're going through the motions, but don't know the Savior. They don't know Him. And then, fear. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." You see, a guilty conscience realizes if they're guilty, what's next? Condemnation. Judgment passed. You see, when I realized I was a sinner, I realized I couldn't quit sinning. But even if I could quit sinning and never sinned again the rest of my life, I'm still guilty of all I've already done. And all that's waiting is to see the judge and have sentence passed. Death in the lake of fire. And what happens when you think about those things? Fear grips you. And a plea comes for mercy. I think of the guilty confession, Romans 3, verse 10, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So the worship didn't help him. Why? Because verse 23 in Romans 3, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It couldn't help him. So his plea for mercy, the end of chapter 7 there, "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Please don't do this to me. Is there any way I can avoid this?" It's a plea for mercy. I'm reminded of Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We read in Ephesians 2 a minute ago that we were worthy of death, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherein He loved us with His great love, hath quickened us from the dead. Oh, listen. He pleads for the mercy. And now, the only one that can help him has mercy on him. In verse 8, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was nigh under the mountains of a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And four of the Jews gave him leave, and with the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 that were choked in the sea." The only one that can help helped. The only one that could set him free. The world couldn't do it. Religious worship couldn't do it. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cast all these demons out of this man. They go into the swine, and the swine run down the hill, and the man is finally had happened what the world couldn't figure out to do, and what the church couldn't get done, Jesus Christ did. I'm reminded of Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, "And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." I'm sorry, verse 9. "If thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm reminded that only one can help. And it's not by works, it's by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's the faith in Him. And He did that. And they come out, and they're gone. And in verse 14, we have the witnesses that know this man. They're hanging around to see what happens. Well, the world couldn't do it, and religion couldn't do it. Can this Jesus of Nazareth do anything? Can you imagine those hanging around there? And then, of course, then it was the disciples thinking, wow, can the Lord really help him? And they see him help him. And they're all like, huh. Now, there are those disciples and those believers that were probably rejoicing. Hallelujah. Look what our Lord did. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen? He is the great Redeemer, the great I Am. And boy, they were excited for that man. And then there's the crowd that says, hey, they was my pigs. Boy. And so they leave. There are those in town saying, wow. Those believers perhaps saying, wow, you ain't going to believe what the Lord did. And they're rejoicing in it. And then there's those that are saying, you ain't going to believe what happened to that Jesus today. You ain't going to believe what they did next. And see, for the saved, we rejoice in what the Lord does. The world says, now what are they doing? The world don't like us. The witnesses. They found the swine, they fed the swine, fled, and told them the city and the country, and they went out to see what was done. And now here's the evidence that it's real. You see, in verse 1 through 3, or 1 through 5, nothing could help this man. The cheddars are broken off of him. He's running through the area. Other chapters talk about him being running through the ground naked and chained, and nothing could help him. You see him and he's a mess. You don't want your kids or your wife anywhere near that guy when he's out around. You're fearful what he might do to them. You know what I mean? Oh, listen, when we used to ride through the Baltimore City as a kid, you come to certain neighborhoods and there'll always be the same warning. Lock your doors, guys. And there's sin is by nature in sinners. They knew what he was. The evidence was there. You could talk to folks that knew me before I got saved. I got saved, I was almost 18, and I was not a good kid. And you could talk to some folks from back then, and they'd tell you, yeah, we heard he got religion. You know, we didn't think it would stick because we knew what he was. But it's 39 years now, and almost 39 years and counting this August. They look at your life, and they say, you're different. Verse 15, and they came to Jesus. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed of the devil and the legion sitting. He's no longer running around ranting and raving and cutting himself. He's at peace. He's sitting. And notice what else he says to him. And clothed. You notice the more heathen our world becomes, the less dressed they are. The more spiritual a nation comes, or a family comes, or a life comes, the more clothed they are. Did you notice that? The farther America sunk into our decay and sin, the more wicked our programming and our media has gotten. And now you see it walking down the streets because it first was in Hollywood, now it's in the streets. But here he is, clothed, and look at this, and in his right mind. Now, I could see why they feared him before. Couldn't you? But now he's a good, decent, law-abiding citizen. He's calmed. He's under control. They don't even need chains or fetters now. The world system didn't work. The religion didn't work. But look what Christ did. And you know what happened now? Look at this amazing statement. And they were afraid. What? He's not a danger anymore. Oh yeah, he's a radical now. He's a fundamentalist. He believes that Bible literally. He's a danger to us. He believes thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. He's a danger. He believes homosexuality is an abomination. He's a danger. He believes abortion is murder. He's a danger. Not the perverts and those who take innocent lives, but the ones who preach against it are the danger. The world fears us, not because we're armed with weapons that can take their lives, but because we're armed with something that can set them free. And the devil don't like that. Amen? And the devil controls the world. And they don't like it. But you know what? They may not like it, but you hear me well. The best evidence is they could not deny it. He was different. when I first got saved, there were some family and friends of mine that did not like it. And they let me know they didn't like it. I can remember one of them telling me, I wanted you to change, but not become radical about it. Now, wait a minute. You're either in or you're out. Make up your mind. You can't satisfy both sides of that equation. And when I got saved and walked away from my music and got my hair cut and threw my cigarettes away and all that junk that I was in, got rid of it, which is what they've been wanting. I was not a good teenager. Suddenly, they didn't want me doing it the way I was doing it. They didn't want me being so involved in church, being so involved in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that all things have become new. And then they saw, told them that befell him, and they concerned the swine. And then in verse 17, they asked him to depart out of their coast. Why don't you just leave, Jesus? We don't need that around here. Oh, you'd rather have the guy cutting himself, screaming, being in danger of the family, living amongst the tombs? You'd rather have that than Jesus?
Yeah.
Isn't the world stupid? The devil's got him blinded. And so our Lord says, fine, if you don't want me, he don't force his way in. Amen? And he went, and when he was coming to the ship, he, the possessed of the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Lord, I want to be with you. No one's done for me what you've done for me. Let me ask you right now, where's Jesus? He's in heaven. Are you looking for that day when you go to heaven? Do you think about a rapture? Perhaps it could be today. And aren't you longing to go be with him? Aren't you? But he says, not yet. Not yet. Same thing with this man. He said, I want to go with you. And Jesus suffered him not, permitted him not, but said to him, listen, you are changed. You are evidence that I am real. You are evidence that I can forgive sins and change a life. So what I want you to do is go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on me. Go show folks what I can do. Because I did it for you and I can do it for them. The best evidence of salvation that you can be is that changed life that comes with salvation. Folks, look at us. They may not like what we become when we get saved. They may get upset that we got saved and all of a sudden, in their words, we become religious, but they cannot deny what's happened. Listen, when I got saved and I cleaned up, there were some folks close to me that didn't even recognize me. They come in and they would do a double take. Herb, is that you? Yeah, it's me. Isn't it wonderful? I've been forgiven. Oh man, I'm telling you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Whether they liked it or not, they still had to marvel about it. They had to admit something happened. I talked to some of my friends since I've gotten saved over the years. Occasionally, not so much anymore as it used to be, unfortunately, but I talked to some of those folks and I'd see them somewhere and I'd tell them what God had done for me. They'd say, oh yeah, I heard you got religion. And I get to tell them, oh no, no, see, you don't understand. I finally let go of religion and I found Christ. And he did it. Oh, how sweet it is. You see, he learned it now. He wasn't supposed to go home with Jesus yet. He had a mission and a new purpose here to go reach others. My friend, the reason God left you here is he's given you a mission and a purpose now to go show others what he can do. I like that song years ago, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. He will. And as we walk through our community, as we live amongst our families, as we work amongst our co-workers, they're to see that there's something different that they can't explain, but that they want. They're scared of it because they don't know what it's going to cost them to get it. They're fearful what it might cost them. It might cost them some fun. You mean if I get like you, I have to go to church all the time? No, I don't have to go to church. You don't? No, I want to go to church. There's a big difference. You see, it's a changed relationship. You don't have to drag us in. We come in smiling. We come in greet one another saying, "How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister?" We come in singing. We come in rejoicing, cheerfully to give our offerings. We love giving testimonies. We love bringing folks with us. We love seeing what the Lord's doing. We got something in common. The devil tries to confuse it out there in the world. He tries to offer the world's solution. He don't care if they get religious. As long as they don't find Christ. Perhaps this morning you're here and you are religious, but you haven't found Christ. Inside you're still empty. Inside you haven't changed. Inside there's no purpose, no mission for your life. No, you don't know what your life's really for or what it's about. You don't understand all this business. In fact, sometimes you'd wish we quit talking about it so much, because it makes you uneasy. That's because you need it. If you hear this morning and God's speaking to you like that, then you better listen. That's His Holy Spirit talking to you. And you better come while He's still giving you mercy. Because once you step out of this life, it's a done deal. There's still time. You're still here. You can still come to Christ and let go of everything else and trust Him. And you can still take out new purpose for your life and make something with it. We are His workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, what's changed in your life? What's your purpose in your life? We all need more change. But let me tell you, if nothing's changed, then nothing's changed. You're not saved yet. Something had to change when you came to Christ. Something within you is different. And if it's not, then you better come and examine it in light of the Scriptures. You better get a counselor and let us pray with you and show you from the Bible. You better find out. And you better make sure. And then Christian, you know, folks, that the world hasn't helped them and religion's not helping them. You know the one who can help them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you go introduce them to Him, or bring them to Him so they can hear about Him. Do something about it. Pray over them. Witness to them. Live that changed life as evidence what He did for you. Tell Him what He's done for you. He went and told them what great things Jesus did for him. Who was the last person you told what great things Jesus did for you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen? Have you told folks that? Who believeth on Him, the Scripture saith, who believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Well, you may have a few weak moments now and then, but He's talking about in general, there's times when you have spoken because you can't keep it to yourself. The Holy Spirit's here. Amen? He's bringing it out of you. He's bold. Isn't He? And if you don't have that, or if you once had it and you've let it go deaf in your ear, so to speak, why not come and get it revived? But if you've never had that, something's wrong. Amen? Let's talk about it today. Father, speak to the hearts here today. If there are any saved among us today, any that have tried the world and are even trying religion, but it's not working and they know it, may they come to Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning and believe and be saved. Father, we'll take Your word. We'll sit down with counsel. We'll pray with them. We will show them Your word. We will lead them. We will answer their questions. We will show them what it means to believe in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they can be saved. Lord, You draw them. You have to draw them. You have to draw the net, Lord. If You'll draw the net, we'll show them. We'll fish for the souls. For the saved, oh, may we pray that our life would be a great shining example to the world. of what Christ can do when He comes into our life. If there's an area of our life You're working for us still to change, may we yield to You that the world can see a difference. May the altar be used this morning down in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen. Who believeth on Him, the Scripture saith, who believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Well, you may have a few weak moments now and then, but He's talking about in general, there are times when you have spoken because you can't keep it to yourself. The Holy Spirit's here, amen? He's bringing it out of you. He's bold, isn't He? And if you don't have that, or if you once had it and you've let it go deaf in your ear, so to speak, why not come and get it revived? But if you've never had that, something's wrong. Amen? Let's talk about it today. Father, speak to the hearts here today. If there are any saved among us today, any that have tried the world and are even trying religion, but it's not working and they know it, may they come to Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning and believe and be saved. Father, we'll take Your word. We'll sit down with counsel. We'll pray with them. We will show them Your word. We will lead them. We will answer their questions. We will show them what it means to believe in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they can be saved. Lord, You draw them. You have to draw them. You have to draw the net, Lord. If You'll draw the net, we'll show them. We'll fish for the souls. For the saved. Oh, may we pray that our life would be a great shining example to the world of what Christ can do when He comes into our life. If there's an area of our life You're working for us still to change, may we yield to You that the world can see a difference. May the altar be used this morning down in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen.